This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. I'm your reader for Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please beware that the following content is not real news, but instead is humorous material intended for your enjoyment. This week's top stories begin with understaffed National Weather Service still weeks away from issuing Kentucky tornado warning. In the aftermath of a deadly storm that ripped through the central United States over the weekend, the National Weather Service confirmed Monday that due to critical staffing shortages, the agency was still weeks away from issuing a tornado warning to the affected areas. Quote, "We can't say exactly when yet, but we hope to warn Kentucky residents that a massive, devastating tornado was headed their way Saturday morning in the next month or two," said visibly overwhelmed NWS Director Ken Graham, who told reporters that remaining staff members had gotten, quote, "a little buried" under 3 months' worth of predictive reports about potentially life-threatening storms after the agency was hit with more than 550 layoffs earlier this year. Quote, "On top of everything, morale is pretty low right now, but we're chugging along. While we're optimistic we can put someone on the ground to monitor the weather conditions in Kentucky by midsummer, we have quite a backlog to work through. Right now, we're trying to get the word out about a historic and fatal snowstorm that hit the Gulf Coast in January of this year. If you could help spread the word, we'd really appreciate it. In particular, the 11 people who died in that winter storm should exercise extreme caution." At press time, the National Weather Service had reportedly sent a volunteer door-to-door to visit piles of demolished homes in Kentucky and urge residents to get to their basements 72 hours ago. Next, Biden faces mounting pressure to let younger Democrat battle cancer. After a stunning admission that he'd been diagnosed with a highly aggressive form of the disease, former President Joe Biden reportedly faced mounting pressure on Monday to let a younger Democrat battle cancer. Quote, "Given the current landscape, we think a more youthful, energetic leader would be much better suited to fighting this deadly kind of metastatic prostate cancer," said Democratic strategist James Carville, adding that while there likely wasn't much time to pivot this late in the disease's cycle, there were still several prominent politicians ready to step up and win. Quote, "Right now, I think that Gavin Newsom, Josh Shapiro, and Pete Buttigieg are more than ready to take on a cancer with a Gleason score of 9. There's even buzz about Gretchen Whitmer throwing her hat in the ring. Frankly, it'd send a very powerful message to Republicans if a female governor from a battleground state like Michigan overcame this terrible illness." At press time, many Democrats had reportedly placed their support in the tumor, with internal projections showing that it was polling 10 points ahead of a generic Democratic candidate. Next, Republican infighting erupts over whether Trump's bill beautiful or handsome. With the dispute threatening to derail legislative approval of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, congressional sources confirmed Monday that GOP infighting had erupted over whether the bill was beautiful or handsome. Quote, "Republicans have a lot riding on this legislation, and it's a terrible sign that they can't even get it out of committee without a screaming match over whether the bill is too rugged to ever be considered beautiful," said conservative political analyst Brian Stockford, adding that top Democrats had attempted to play these divisions to their advantage by characterizing the bill's proposed tax cuts as, quote, "delicate" and, quote, "voluptuous" to constituents. Quote, "You also have a few fringe hardliners within the beautiful camp saying that its provisions for Medicaid work requirements could only ever be described as winsome, making it hard for Mike Johnson to get the consensus he needs to move it through the House. Unless Republicans can coalesce around the bill being either a dashing, debonair boy or a comely, glamorous lady bill, there's a real chance this key piece of Trump's agenda ends up dying on the floor. At press time, House Republicans had reportedly become embroiled in a second argument about whether Trump's bill was big or merely curvy. Next, Trump accuses Kamala Harris of paying for stepchildren's endorsement. Calling for a major investigation into her husband's son and daughter from a previous marriage, President Donald Trump leveled allegations Tuesday in which he accused Kamala Harris of paying for her stepchildren's endorsement in the 2024 presidential election. Quote, "How much money did Kamala give the Imhoff kids to support her during her campaign for president?" Trump wrote in a Truth Social post, claiming the former vice president had operated under the guise of stepmotherhood to cover up, quote, "illegal and unpatriotic" public appearances by Ella and Cole Imhoff. Quote, "There is no reason these stepchildren would have ever come on stage with Kamala if she hadn't bribed them. Do you mean to tell me those $250 checks she wrote to each of them last year were just their usual birthday gifts? Not a chance." At press time, Trump asserted it was corrupt and unlawful for a person seeking public office to help raise children in exchange for their endorsement. Next, Elon Musk announces plans to step back from fatherhood. Proclaiming that he had, quote, "done enough," billionaire Elon Musk confirmed Thursday that he would be taking a step back from fatherhood. Quote, "I've accomplished all that I really intended to accomplish as a father, spreading my seed, preserving my bloodline, and now I can spend more time focusing on other things," said Musk, who told reporters that after pouring millions of dollars and sperm cells into the project, he was ready to scale that number back to zero. Quote, "I need to get my priorities in line. Fatherhood distracted me from what really matters, which is running Tesla. If I see a reason to do it in the future, I'll do it, but currently I don't see a reason." At press time, sources revealed that Musk's decision may have been motivated by falling popularity among his children. Next, Trump shares own experiences as victim of white genocide. Saying the plight of white South African farmers affected him on a deeply personal level, President Donald Trump issued a statement Thursday in which he shared his own experiences as a victim of white genocide. Quote, "I've kept quiet about my past out of a fear that I could still be persecuted, but I too know what it's like to live under a black president who wants to see your entire race destroyed," said Trump, adding that he had narrowly survived the attempt to eradicate white people and their culture by hiding for months in his 126-room Peak Palm Beach resort. Quote, "I've seen firsthand the terrible power of anti-white hatred, having been forced to flee my Trump Tower penthouse in the middle of the night with nothing but the suit on my back. They mainly came for whites, but heterosexuals and Christians were also killed and thrown atop a scrap heap. As painful as it still is to talk about, I cannot stay silent while innocent whites in another country face the same horrifying persecution I did. I believe it is my duty as a survivor to provide testimony so that blacks, Asians, and Native Americans who have never experienced such hardship for themselves can learn about the ethnic cleansing of whites, something that should never be allowed to happen again." President Trump also announced that construction would begin on a white genocide museum in Washington, D.C., once several museums commemorating the history of less important races had been raised to provide the space. Next, DHS says South Sudan deportations a lot more humane when you learn what Stephen Miller wanted to do. Describing the plan it went ahead with as absolutely toothless by comparison, the Department of Homeland Security issued a statement Thursday saying the deportation of migrants to South Sudan seemed a lot more humane once you knew what White House advisor Stephen Miller had wanted to do. Quote, critics can argue that deporting migrants from Vietnam, Myanmar, and Cuba to the war-torn nation of South Sudan qualifies as cruel and unusual punishment. But my God, if you had heard Stephen Miller's 12-point plan for physically and mentally abusing these people, you'd want to give us the Nobel Peace Prize. Said DHS spokesman Dylan Fontano, claiming that the barbarity of forcibly removing migrants to countries with which they have no connection had to be weighed against the horrific and depraved drawings and blueprints that Miller had initially presented to the agency. Quote, quite frankly, when we heard what Stephen wanted to do, many of us vomited. We tried talking him out of some of his more ghoulish suggestions, but he stormed out of the room, furious that the migrants would remain alive and there would be no corpses to desecrate. All I'll say is just be glad our immigration policy doesn't involve hedge clippers or a jury-rigged car battery. At press time, a more open DHS was said to be revisiting many of Stephen Miller's most grisly proposals. Next, what to know about the MAHA movement? Supporters of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are cheering on the Health and Human Service Secretary's plans to, quote, make America healthy again. Here is everything you need to know about the MAHA movement. What is MAHA? It's like MAGA, but with food dye instead of immigrants. What is their official motto? Rub some dirt on it. Who is behind MAHA? It is a grassroots coalition of your worst cousins and coworkers. What is their main focus? Making sure Americans live either much longer or way shorter lives. How does the movement propose curing disease? By harnessing the natural power of leeches to purge ghosts from the blood. And finally, why are they obsessed with cooking with beef tallow? It's easier than fighting for a functioning healthcare system. Next, Trump invites WNBA fans who yelled slurs at Angel Reese to White House. Saying how much he had enjoyed watching their outstanding work on the court, President Donald Trump invited the WNBA fans who yelled slurs at Angel Reese to the White House on Thursday. Quote, today we celebrate these hardworking Indiana Fever fans who sat within earshot of Angel Reese and yelled racial insults as loudly as they could, said Trump, who gleefully shook hands, took photos, and discussed with the fans some of their favorite epithets and gestures to direct toward the 23-year-old Chicago Sky forward. Quote, these people are some of the most dedicated, talented racists in America right now, and the way they stepped up, disrupted the game, and spewed hate should make our nation proud. Those were some of the best slurs I've ever heard used to degrade a black woman. No one represents this country better than they do. At press time, the fans were spotted on the White House lawn teaching staffers' children how to go on a racist tirade. Next, State Department designates WNBA as terrorist organization. Rubio says radical basketball group threatens American way of life. Promising to stamp out the extremist movement as well as its sympathizers, the U.S. State Department announced Thursday that the WNBA had been designated as a terrorist organization. According to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the organization has as many as 156 terrorists spread across 13 known cells in the United States, and several of its members can be tied directly to the notorious acts of basketball carried out last year at the Paris Olympics. Rubio confirmed the terror group also includes foreign-born nationals from countries such as Croatia, Cameroon, Brazil, and Hungary, giving it devastating reach both at home and abroad. Quote, "Their radical anti-American ideology is centered on the empowerment of girls and women," said Rubio, who stressed that the group's members are easily recognizable by their signature uniform of sleeveless jerseys and nylon shorts. Quote, "The WNBA is a danger not just to this nation, but the entire globe. They won't stop until every woman on the planet believes they can do anything they want, on the court and off. The United States will defeat the WNBA." He added, quote, "Make no mistake, if you wage women's basketball in America, you will be held accountable." Key leaders of the terrorist organization were identified as Aja Wilson, 28, of Paradise, Nevada, Angel Reese, 22, of Chicago, and Caitlin Clark, 23, last seen in Indianapolis. In addition, the FBI named 42-year-old Diana Taurasi as a senior ranking member who is believed to have helped lead the organization for 20 years, but whose current whereabouts are unknown. FBI Director Kash Patel said his agency's counterterrorism division has been monitoring the WNBA's associates and activities for decades. He shared footage from a video intercepted by U.S. intelligence officers that shows the fundamentalist group's members at a training camp, where they appear to be running drills and shooting. Quote, "These are strong, incredibly skilled individuals capable of staying cool-headed under intense, high-pressure situations," said Patel, who told reporters that many of the terrorists have trained overseas in Europe. Quote, "Don't underestimate these zealots. From watching tape of them at work, I can tell you they're ruthless, highly coordinated, and hell-bent on advancing the goals of the WNBA. A poll conducted by the Pew Research Center found that 56% of Americans considered the WNBA a critical threat to the United States. Quote, "Their demands for equality and respect are absolutely chilling," said 38-year-old Madeline Hagan, a mother and sales executive from Naples, Florida, and one of the many poll respondents who described themselves as, quote, "very worried" by the threat of women's basketball. Quote, "I have young daughters. I don't want them being radicalized. Who knows what kinds of barriers WNBA leaders could be planning to destroy?" Patel emphasized that although the group has been emboldened in recent years and their number of fanatical supporters is rapidly growing, federal agents would come down on WNBA abettors with, quote, "the full force of the law." The FBI chief vowed that any person who provided material support or resources to the organization would be charged in accordance with the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, which was enacted on April 24, 1996, in response to the founding of the WNBA on the same date. Quote, "Whether they provide transportation and lodging or financial support in the form of ticket sales, merchandise sales, and brand partnerships, individuals who knowingly assist the WNBA may face up to 20 years in federal prison," said Patel, who pointed to the Justice Department's own case against Skims, the official underwear partner of the WNBA. Quote, "There will be zero tolerance for WNBA supporters within our great nation's borders. If you want to cheer on the disturbing acts of Kennedy Carter, you should do so from behind bars." Rubio warned of the danger of the WNBA's international alliances, stating that they have ties to the foreign terrorist organizations, EuroLeague Women, and the Women's Chinese Basketball Association. He told reporters that one member, Brittany Griner, a 34-year-old WNBA operative first drafted by the militant organization in 2013, spent 9 months in Russia in 2022. Quote, "What could she possibly have been doing there for 293 days? Rubio asked. Quote, "Rest assured, we will get to the bottom of it. And when we catch up to her, she'll wish she had never come back to the United States." At press time, the FBI announced that it had foiled a disturbing WNBA plot to converge at arenas nationwide starting May 16th, with tens of thousands of Americans being expected to be present. Next in local news, trip to Asia gives man new understanding of how soup can be breakfast. Taking a moment to reflect on the ways in which his time abroad had expanded his horizons, Cleveland native Dan Stiefel told reporters Thursday his trip to Asia had given him an entirely new understanding of how soup could be breakfast. Quote, "Wow, I finally see how ignorant I've been my whole life," said Stiefel, adding that he had not previously been aware of how his own closed-minded, shamefully pancake-centric ideas had shaped his thinking about breakfast until he tried a traditional Thai morning meal of pork, rice, and garlic soup. Quote, "I can't believe I was ever so stupid. I never would have considered that there are people just like me, half a world away, eating soup in the morning instead of cereal or a bagel. I definitely thought soup could be for brunch, or even an early lunch, but breakfast? It just goes to show how we all live in our own little cultural bubbles, especially when it comes to soup. But then again, that's why you travel, to learn new things about yourself, about the world, and about what meals soups can be for." At press time, Stiefel was said to have quietly resolved to eat at his hotel's complimentary continental breakfast the next morning. Next, no-nonsense nurse completes entire medical chart after pinching arm flab once. Making a comprehensive determination about her patient almost instantaneously, no-nonsense nurse Mary Jo McMahon was reportedly able to complete a patient's entire medical chart Thursday after pinching her arm flab once. Quote, "I had barely gotten into the examination room when she grabs a chunk of my arm between her thumb and forefinger and is immediately able to write down crucial details about my family background and medical history," said patient Allison Firestone, telling reporters that the direct and forthright medical caregiver had barely jiggled the fat around her elbow before checking off dozens of boxes on a series of forms. Quote, "She didn't so much as ask me to step on a scale or anything, and yet somehow she knew right away my blood pressure was 120 over 80. Firestone later confirmed she was billed $3,000 for the arm pinch. And that concludes this week's broadcast of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. Once again, I'm your reader from Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please come back next week for more news. And until then, take care.